What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
I thought that all sins could be forgiven, but I've just read in the Bible Jesus saying, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." So what is this sin against the Holy Spirit? Hello, my name is George Samietz, and I'm based in East Anglia in England, but serving folk in Brandon, Coventry and East Kilbride. For the details of all ELCE churches and also about Lutheran Radio UK, the British Lutheran, and our theological college in Cambridge, Westfield House, please go to www.lutheran.co.uk. Thanks for listening to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. What is this unforgivable sin, this sin against the Holy Spirit? It does make you stop and think, when you read these verses in Mark chapter 3, or their parallel in Matthew chapter 12. In Christianity, we hear again and again that God forgives sins, that no sins are so bad that God will turn up his nose, so to speak, and say, "No way, you're too bad, I'm not forgiving that." That's the sort of thing we'd do, but not God. Even if we might want him to not forgive at times, we hope he always forgives us at least. So what is this sin that isn't forgivable? And, more to the point, have I committed it? Jesus said these words in a specific situation. One of the explanations set against him that explained his ability to cast out demons and also to heal was that he himself was either demon-possessed, possessed by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, or in some way in league with him. The logic was simple enough for those who understood hierarchy and even the military. It was the old chain of command. The prince of demon can boss around the underling demon. Jesus challenged this line of reasoning by pointing out that Satan doesn't cast out Satan because a kingdom or house divided against itself cannot stand. To evict or cast out the unwanted lodger requires the stronger person to appear. And in this context, Jesus then goes on to mention that sins or blasphemies against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but there will never be forgiveness for those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. The demonic in the New Testament are generally referred to as unclean spirits, and by unclean I'm not referring to personal hygiene, but to the description of those separated from God and who don't share in God's holiness. This is Old Testament language. To those who are in a permanent state of defilement and don't want to be purified, let alone sanctified. In Jewish theology, you can't get further away from God than this description. It is anti-God, enemy of God. It is a statement that is actually unprovable and therefore a faith statement. But in this case, the task of faith is to paint Jesus as evilly as possible and at the same time ignore what is actually happening. People were healed. People were set free from demons, both ostensibly good things. And yet for some reason, some people constructed meaning from these events that made Jesus bad. Who is Jesus? That question was asked back when he walked on earth and is asked now. Jesus asked it himself of his disciples. And you can get a variety of answers. Carpenter, miracle worker, rabbi or teacher, prophet, troublemaker, lawbreaker, all based on this or that evidence. When Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, or the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he was saying what was not inconsistent with the evidence known about Jesus, but saying more than the evidence actually presented. There's revelation here, insight given, a leap taken. A clever hunch on Peter's part? No. Jesus tells Peter that his answer didn't come from flesh and blood, but was a revelation from his Father in heaven. Faith in Jesus, trusting Jesus, realizing that Jesus is actually God and man together, and understanding how this declaration makes sense of all the evidence about Jesus we have, is not something we dream up ourselves, but is given to us by God. That's why we say that faith is a gift. The Apostle Paul would tell his Corinthian congregation, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit." That's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Martin Luther would, 1500 or so years later, begin his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed with, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." So it is the Holy Spirit whose single work or task is to keep our eyes on Jesus so that we see him correctly for who he is, the Lord. Faith alone in Jesus as Lord saves. Rejection of Jesus as Lord brings about what the person rejecting wants. Nothing to do with Jesus. The sin of unbelief, rejecting the evidence in front of you, or deliberately distorting it and rejecting the messages and proclamations that the Holy Spirit is presenting, is unforgivable. Not because God doesn't want to forgive, he does, but because the person rejecting rejects that forgiveness. I'm not talking about doubt here, or having a bad day, or year for that matter, or decade, when one doesn't want to be close to God or Jesus, though that isn't spiritually healthy, or even going through struggles and shouting angrily at God at times. I'm not talking about these sorts of things. What I'm talking about is a certainty. I'm talking about rejection of Jesus that is deliberate. Considered the options, and no, Jesus isn't Lord. Is willful. I know what I'm doing, this is my choice, and no one is convincing me otherwise. And is continual to my grave. Where this occurs, then a person has spent considerable time fending off the Holy Spirit and all his promptings, urgings, nudges, messages, loud and soft, and can often, but not always, speak vehemently against Jesus or the Holy Spirit, and so thereby making other faith statements that effectively say that Jesus is evil. Traditionally, it has been taught that where people deliberately, willfully, and continually hold this view at their death, that Jesus isn't Lord at all, and have spurned or rejected what the Holy Spirit has been doing or trying to do in their lives, then their sin of unbelief isn't forgiven because they don't want to be forgiven. But should people go through bad times in their lives, spiritual deserts so to speak, prideful, poor choices about spiritual things, and reject Jesus, they are not abandoned by God. The Holy Spirit is still working because repentance and faith are always possible this side of the grave. Hence, we can only truly say that someone may have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit at their death. And even then, we should be cautious about being definitive. That is not to say that we can't say anything. If Mr. X held his rejection of Jesus as Lord throughout his life, at his death, then he has what he wanted. If Mr. X's rejection of Jesus ended in the last years of his life, despite the fact that 95% of his life was spent opposing Jesus as Lord, then he didn't commit the sin against the Holy Spirit. Repentance, forgiveness, faith, hope, all things in the province of the Holy Spirit are always possible in a person's life, each day of it, even if it had previously been rejected. So the sin against the Holy Spirit is the deliberate, willful, and continual rejection of Jesus as Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you're worried that you may have committed this sin against the Holy Spirit, please relax. Your very worry shows that you haven't. People who are worried about committing this sin haven't committed it, because it is the Holy Spirit who is working to make you sensitive to your sins, to be concerned, and to look to Jesus for your hope and salvation. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.